Thank you, choir, for that introduction. Good morning. Greetings on this wonderful resurrection morning. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the new life that's offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join together this morning in our voices again to give a praise to the Lord with number 176. If you have a hymnal or it's on the screen, Christ arose. He is our living and risen Lord. Let's stand if you're able this morning and sing this. We'll give just a moment here, Barb, to get everyone up. I'm sorry, but let's sing it out this morning. If you've been redeemed in Christ and you have new life, this is an exciting day. Every day is exciting in Jesus. Here we go.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, when the fighting tried for his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
I'm going to stop for just a minute. If you're not excited about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you can take it slow and steady, but I'm excited. And when we come to that refrain, we're going to sing it out like we're alive in Christ. Amen. Here we are. Stanza two.
Vainly they watched his bed. Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead. Jesus, my Lord.
This morning, let's bow in prayer and we'll begin. Father, thank you so much today for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the fact that you sent him from heaven. And he came and willingly loved us with your love, Lord, and died for our sins. He was buried, but on the third day, just exactly as he said, as your prophetic word said, he rose as the conqueror of sin, death, and the devil. And Lord, today, like we do every first day of the week, we celebrate today, Lord. This is not a somber occasion. Biblical Christianity is not somber. It is exciting. Amen. And today, Lord, we thank you for the excitement that comes in the new life found only in the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray today, Lord, that your spirit will be alive here at Fruitland this morning, and that, again, our hearts will be challenged about what you have done for us in the power of the resurrection. Now may, Lord, again, you speak to every heart here. We pray again, Lord, for many of our number that cannot be here today, some with illnesses, other difficulties, grief, many things that are common to the heart of man. But we thank you that, again, in your resurrection, you have overcome the forces of darkness and given us the power of light. We pray for our community today, and Lord, for those yet that may be en route to our services this morning, may these things all be found pleasing in your sight, and bring glory to your name and edify the people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, appreciate that this morning. Again, it's very good to be with a nice group out this morning for Resurrection Sunday. Trust that God is working in your life today, that you'll have a good worship experience here at Fruitland Baptist Church. If you would be visiting with us this morning, we're always glad for that. We've got some ushers at the back door if there are any needs that you have, if you're new to us here today. But please feel welcome, relax a little bit, and absorb what Jesus has for us this morning. Today as we begin, and the choir goes back down, there are some announcements that are up on the screen, but also in the right-hand side of your bulletin. Also, I want to let you know right now there are some notes for today that were on a stack. And if anyone did not get the notes, they were not in the bulletins today, an usher will bring those to you as well this morning. Just put up a hand and we'll get you handled on that. Tonight, our evening service is at 6 p.m., again, working through the path to the cross and the empty tomb. Tonight we'll look at the part of that, a survey over the appearance of Christ after he rose again to his ascension, and that's at 6 o'clock, and also communion. Also, we've had a little glitch from our vote last week about a ministry team coming from California. They could not make that date happen. It had been taken. So if there's interest today, let me know. There is an opportunity for the 2nd of July to have them come. That's a Tuesday evening. We'll have to have another business meeting, stand-up meeting here in 2 weeks from today. So let me know if there's interest as far as that, or one of the deacons as well. Also, we'll have a fellowship at the end of the month on Sunday the 25th, and the kitchen crews are there. Women's Bible study, April 10th and 24th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And again, our Wilton Bible study on April 15th. At 6 p.m., and that's in the Presbyterian Church basement at Wilton. A meeting for men's retreat, April 18th. That's a Sunday at 4:30. And then you see my thought for the week there, empty cross, empty tomb, filled life, full joy. Is there anything else that we need to announce or be made aware of for the upcoming week, should the Lord tarry? All right, again, we're thankful for everyone that's out this morning. I'm excited, as always, to be able to share this time with you and commemorate again our living Lord and Savior. At this time, we do not pass a plate here at Fruitland during the coronal situation. If you have an offering, there's a receptacle on the back table where you can put that, place that. But we are going to thank God for this opportunity. You know, God's a giver, and he wants us as well to understand that gift that he's given, but also that we, in his stead, have an opportunity to be givers as well. And so as we contemplate how we give back to him, this is a time we're going to thank him for the gift and the giver, and then just have a short time of meditation before we go into the rest of our morning worship. Shall we pray together? Unless there was another announcement. Okay, very good. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you today again that you have displayed yourself so wondrously to us in your word, and Lord, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And today, again, we acknowledge you're a giver. You're the giver of all gifts, of all things. Nothing here today is anything that we own or have control over. Lord, in the sense that of the material things that you've given us. And so, Lord, today all of us could admit, if we really want to come clean about that, that it is all yours. And we're simply allowed to be users or stewards. Stewards is a better word of what you've given us. Now, Lord, for the believers here today, we also know that you've given us riches in Christ Jesus, in our eternal life. And so, Lord, today you never legalistically ask us to give back anything to you. But you do have some mandates in your word, Lord, that give criteria. But it's really about the heart. And today is our heart in a position to say, I love you, Lord. I understand what you've done. And please accept this gift, again, as a token of our recognition of what you've done and what you've given us. So I pray today, Lord, you'd bless both the gift and the giver. And Lord, that you would turn our hearts now at this time towards the service yet to come, that you would be glorified, but that this flock here at Fruitland would be edified at the preaching of your word and at the raising of our voices in song. So, Lord, may this be a day that is enjoyable to you and profitable, Lord. May your spirit have free course, and may the folks here today be touched by the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. About equality today, but we're all equally needy at the foot of the cross, and Jesus supplied those needs. All right, this morning we've got some special music. Jeff, do we have a sound problem? Or?
Yeah, try it out. Your headset's not on yet. I got that mic on.
Okay, let me check this. I'm pretty sure it was on. Sometimes people don't have a hard time hearing me. I was wrong. Mute. Kim, get the recorder running. I was wrong. Barb Salzberger, what a blessing. Favor us with one of the Lord's great, great numbers here. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Barb. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus, my friends. And, you know, he loves us that much that he saw fit to come down and bear our sins out of the love of his Father. And that's why we're here today to celebrate that. I trust today that your walk with the Lord is vibrant, but know this, that Jesus is always willing to make it more vibrant. And if you're in a valley today, he's here to bring you to the peaks and to place you up in the high places with him. That's the kind of a God that we have. Jesus is a very compassionate Savior. And even though he was God, he was here in the flesh, and he knows what we go through, and it's not an easy path, is it? And he's very compassionate towards us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. So I can get emotional about that already today, but we better get down to business and get through this message. I don't have notes on the screen this morning, but you have a note sheet. Hopefully you can follow along. I hope to tell you some things here this morning that are contained in the Word of God that are much misrepresented in the nominal church today, but that are a very important part of the resurrection and the events that preceded that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, I welcome you once again in His name. And the title of our message is Death, Grave, and the Resurrection. Hallelujah! Christ arose. And I hope you're excited as well about what the Lord has done and what He is doing and what He will do. So before we go any further, I think we need to pray, right? And I need it this morning. I'm a little shaky. Just some mornings don't flow as well as others, but I would hope that you'd pray as well for me, that the power of the Holy Spirit would rest upon me today as I deliver the Word. I'm excited about the message, and I'm excited about the results of it. So shall we pray together, and we'll begin. Our Father in heaven, thanks once again for a glorious day. Lord, this is a classic Resurrection Day Sunday. Warm temperatures, just the way it is many times. It again shows us of your love. But we know this, Lord, even on those days when it's chilly and rainy, and even there's been times we've had snow, a snowstorm. Lord, we know that your love is ever with us and it never grows cold. So I thank you for that today, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful God you are. What a wonderful Savior you are. Again, to be willing, Lord, as God in the flesh, to come and die and take the penalty of death on the cross for the sinner, that we might have life eternal. So, Lord, we have many reasons to see our heart adjusted into the proper focus this morning. And, Lord, realize that we need to have a sense of humility, but yet a sense of euphoria over what you've done. And I pray that that'll be the case today. Now we thank you for every soul that's come through the doors. We'd still be praying. Maybe someone's running late this morning. And Lord, that they would get in on this. But we also pray for the internet ministry and the people that are listening on the website. And Lord, again, that your word would be held high. And now, Lord, I have to always bring me into this. But you know me. You know my frailties, my deficiencies, which are many. But I have the responsibility, which is also a privilege, to bring forth your word today. I pray you'd help me, Lord, and that the Spirit would have free course, and that he would assist me today, Lord, in my frailty. So we're going to go into this message, Lord. It's a powerful message. Every bit of your word is powerful. It's like dynamite in the Greek, at least in several places. It's dunamis. And Lord, may we not play around with dynamite, but may we understand its purpose and its place. And respect it. And may you work in the lives here today, I pray, including mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, children and friends of the risen and living Savior. And what I mean by children today is not necessarily a children's message in years, but it is a message to all of us as children here today of God, but especially those that have named and claimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen and living Lord. Today is the annual celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we know this is a big deal as far as the days go, but yet I have to tell you, it's a big deal for me every week when we gather as God's people to celebrate the resurrection. It's unfortunate, I think, that we don't have that kind of euphoria every one of the 52 first days of the week, Sunday, that roll around on the calendar. It has drawn notoriety as a holiday with its attached commercial significance, we know, But for those who have obtained new life in Christ, our gathering together on the first day of each week or Sunday is a vivid reminder of the risen Savior. Amen. Each new day as we rise also is a commemoration of this new life and renewal in our life as we rise every morning. The sun rises to me, and sunsets are beautiful reminders each day of the Lord. I trust you get up once in a while to see those. In the high part of summer, I usually don't get up to see the very glowing of the dawn. 5 o'clock is when Kim and I usually rise. But now I think the sun and the horizon grows light a little after 6 on the current clock that we're under. But those are reminders of new life each and every day, and that if you're able, again, if you're not with the Lord as a believer, or if you've not departed this world, it's another day of new life that the Lord's given us. And all these things should be reminders of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're glad for all that are here, as I said earlier, and I want to encourage anyone that might be here as a see and ear. You know what a see and ear is? Christmas and Easter. I encourage you, though, if that's the case, I'm glad you're here, to investigate a life in Christ that has you excited about every day with Jesus and His people. We're not as bad as they tell you here, I'm telling you, folks. We love the Lord, and that's the main thing. But know this, you're welcome to draw close to the Savior at Fruitland Baptist Church and in your personal walk every day, every day. Well, this morning our focus will be in our survey that we've been doing the last couple of weeks from Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now we're talking here in the resurrection, you know, the events that led to the cross and the empty tomb and His ascension eventually, which we'll come to tonight, Lord willing, from the events that began at 3 o'clock on day 6 to Sunday early a.m. on day 8. Last Sunday we looked at day 1, and that was Palm Sunday. And so you have that on your sheet, on this path to the cross and to the resurrection. And you also have the scriptures of all the Gospels where you'll find these accounts to help you out as a study guide. And of course, I always encourage you to have a good study Bible. And there is just a plethora of materials today that are available to us like no other time in history. And this little device, you know, that we have is just loaded with some bad things, but also some very good things to help us study the Word of God. So anyway, refer to those texts as you wend your way through the day yet today, if you haven't. And I also hope that you'll use those as a personal study of these events. And today I'm going to even give you some extras that I think are very important that are oftentimes omitted from most preaching, and maybe most people don't even understand some of these things. But today we're going to focus on two parts, a little bit about the death, the burial, and the resurrection from the book of Mark. So you might want to go there on your device or in your paper Bibles, Mark chapter 15 to be exact. But also we're going to look at what happened here to Jesus between the time that He died and was in the grave and when He showed Himself to be the resurrected Lord. And let me just say, the secular and much of, I'll even sadly say, spiritual thinking on this is that nothing happened on Saturday, on the Sabbath, but that is not the case. There may have not been anything that happened externally, but we're going to examine today what happened to Jesus and when He was in His spirit in the grave, because there's some important things that took place that are rarely ever referred to that are very important. So with that thought in mind, let's go to the book of Mark this morning, chapter 15. I'm just going to briefly review Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection from Mark's gospel of the events that are recorded and their significance, along with a timeline of Jesus' activities and locations during this same period. So we're going to begin today in Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 33. Mark 15, 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, I don't want to park on this too long because of our time constraints this morning, but what we noticed this morning, we have a beautiful, bright, sunny morning. Amen. But if you examine the day, you'll find that the highest points of light during the day are found when? From noon to 3 in the afternoon. And what we find here today is the sixth hour of the day that's being recorded here when Jesus was on the cross. We ended up with that, with his crucifixion and our last get-together. And so now we're finding what was taking place between noon and 3 p.m. as Jesus hung on the cross. It doesn't say there was a solar eclipse. It says there was what? There was darkness. There, if you read all the Gospels, you'll find there was a lot that was going on there. Let me just say this very quickly. We talked about this in prayer meeting a little bit. But when Jesus Christ hung on the cross and he was separated from God, the Trinity, the Godhead, was temporarily interrupted. Because we know that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God turned his back, and we're going to see that in just a minute. This was the most dynamic event that has ever taken place in history. It's bigger than the creation. It's bigger than the end times events. Because the Trinity, the continuity of the Godhead was not messed with. But in this case, when Christ died for our sins, and I could cry, see, when I think about it, this was big. Because Jesus became sin. And temporarily, that continuity of the Godhead was disrupted. And that's why there were cataclysmic things. That's why it was dark from noon to three when Christ was on the cross. When it should have been what? Broad daylight. It symbolized sin. And I believe this, folks, it was pitch dark. It was pitch dark. Because it interrupted God's design as he saw his son sacrificed for the sins of the world. Well, there you go. There's the starter for today. But anyway, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is when God couldn't look on his son as he bore the sins of the world, you see, on that cross. And let me tell you this, folks, Jesus died alone. He was separated as he bore the sins of the world. So when did Jesus die? The Bible records all these facts. By the way, the Bible is a fact book. You can find a lot of stuff in there. It's a primary text for life. Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on what we know as Good Friday, and on your sheets from last week. It was a good day, wasn't it? Because Christ redeemed us from his sins, from our sins that day as he bore them on the tree. But he completed that task, and I believe he completed it with joy when he rose again from the grave, and he guaranteed us new life in him. Anyway, and some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth Elias," or Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." Now let me tell you something about that verse too. If you look at the other places where Jesus was offered something to drink, the wine mixed with vinegar and so forth, he refused it as he hung on the cross at Calvary. But you know what? What does it say here? It says they gave him to drink. And you know what? You'll find in the accounts as well in the scripture that he took that drink that time. Why do you suppose he did when he didn't the other times? I'm going to tell you why this morning. Because Jesus bore all hell on the cross and the weight of sin for every soul that will ever live. And when we read the accounts, and I'm going to take you to some of those this morning about a picture of what hell is, like in Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. What did the rich man say as he was there in Hades? I'll clarify that later. In the holding pen for hell, the lake of fire. He said, "Give me what? One drop of water, because I am tormented in the flame." That's why Jesus took it at that time. He was hot. He'd borne hell on the cross for our sakes. And Jesus cried with a loud voice. And notice here, and you'll find this in all the Gospels, he gave up the ghost. Jesus was not killed. Jesus was not murdered. He voluntarily surrendered his life for you and me. Wow, I could sit and cry. You did that for us, Lord. You didn't have to do that. You're God. You shouldn't even be touched by sin. Barb, you played it. Holy, holy, holy. God doesn't have anything to do with sin. He can't sin. He can't be tainted by it, but Jesus took our sin. And he voluntarily gave up his life. And of course, you go on here, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. That guaranteed us what? Direct access now through Christ. He's the one, we looked at that Wednesday night, he's the one that's pleading our case on our behalf. He's our attorney. I've said this before, you better know a good attorney. Some of you know that John Eichelberger is my personal attorney, but I told him he's not my lead attorney. Well, we won't go there. He might be listening. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is pleading our case. And he's a good attorney. He's a good attorney. I hope you know him. And when the centurion, verse 39, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." You're talking about eyewitnesses here, folks. You know, what's recorded in Scripture is true, and I don't want to get off on a sidetrack here this morning, but I'll tell you what, we're going to learn tonight, over 500 people saw the risen Lord, but a lot more saw Jesus on the cross, and they saw him as he conducted his way through his 3.5 years of ministry here on earth, and his life of 33 years. Let me tell you something, folks. If he was a fraud, it would have been exposed long time ago. We're 2,000 years away from all this stuff, and we hear all these charges. Now, that's too far away to shoot, folks. If this was a hoax or if it was pulled over, it would have been exposed right then. But my friends, it stood the test of time. There's no other account in history like the Bible. Nothing that can even touch it. This is truth. I could stop right there today, enough said, but we got to go. By the way, you pay good money to have me do these things. Got to get your money's worth. But we'll try to be done on time. Who's got a big lunch planned for today? I heard some rumors of a young man back there that he's going to the hotel for prime rib today. Woo, that sounds good. I have to admit, though, I'm a big fan of A1 with prime rib and steaks. And a few other things.
Do you have a big one planned on?
I don't know. I'm not the planner today, Jane. That's up to someone that has more authority than I have. And that's beautiful right next to you there. Verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off. By the way, ladies wouldn't lie, would they?
No.
Especially when one of them was who?
Mother.
Yeah. Among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome. No one named Salome would lie. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. I believe this, that you can say this safely on this account, more women followed Jesus than men. And I think if you did a count, probably in any nominal gathering of Christians, you will find a majority of women and a minority of the male species. Just something for you to think about today. Verse 42, and now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that's the preparation for the Sabbath, this was Friday evening. By the way, when did the day change in Judaism? Sunset, 6 o'clock in the evening. Someone that was in a dead body had to be buried by when? Sunset, 6 o'clock, because it would have rolled into the Sabbath at 6 o'clock here. Do your math. I don't want to get bogged on that. Preached it before many times. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. He started out when? Friday, Saturday the Sabbath, and he rose early the first day of the week, which would be our Sunday. He was in the grave on 3 different days. It perfectly fulfills Scripture. People said, no, he wasn't there 3 full days. It doesn't say that. It says 3 days. And he was. Now, I read that. Verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. He was surprised about this, see? And you know the whole thing, how they tested for someone being dead and made sure they were dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. By the way, who was the other guy that's recorded in Scripture that came to take Jesus' body? Nicodemus, thank you. Nicodemus, John chapter 3, he was the one that came to the Lord, didn't he? And he said, Lord, how can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And remember what Jesus taught him? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Of water, you were born once of the water, but now you have to be reborn by the Spirit. And folks, I believe that's solid evidence that Nicodemus was born again. Amen. I'm excited about that this morning. We don't have to wonder. We see evidence. He was born again in Christ. He trusted Jesus Christ and what he told him. And when he knew of it, verse 46, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre in a hewn out tomb, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. By the way, why did they have to have security to be sure that that tomb was locked up? That's right. Because Jesus had said, I'm going to be gone, what? On the third day. And they knew that there might be a caper that would be pulled off, or thought that about his disciples, that they would take him even if he hadn't truly resurrected. But what happened, folks? They not only rolled a massive boulder in front of that door, but even the Roman government then did what? They put a bunch of guards. But guess what happened that morning, early in the morning when Christ arose? An angel from the Lord came, and there was a great earthquake, and God opened the door. And you can read in the other accounts, we won't go to this morning, Jesus rose, his linens that he was wrapped in here, what? They remained in the form of a body. And the napkin from his head, Deb Wheeler, tell us about that. Deb had a great thing in our bulletin last Sunday. You know what that symbolized? That Christ miraculously rose. But he gave a sign that he's going to come back, because he did what? He folded that napkin and placed it in another place. In that tomb, and that was the symbol in Hebrew dinners in the Middle Eastern culture that said, I'll be back. He was not dead. He rose again. He was dead, but he rose again. Anyway, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And here it is, folks, verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came under the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. We used to have a lot of sunrise services. And we still could. We should, to commemorate that. We used to even have breakfast. That's kind of fallen out now with the coronal thing. But anyway, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. By the way, that's the message of Jesus, isn't it, the God of the Bible? He tells us, without exception, do not fear when you trust in him. When we don't trust in him, then the message is different. You better fear. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Amen. I don't want to put you to sleep this morning. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You can look in the other Gospels. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said unto you, as he said unto you, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And then notice in verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And you can read on through that account. But let me tell you something today, folks, Jesus is alive. And I can't prove this to an unbeliever today from the Word of God, even though I can give you solid evidence that what the Word of God says is true. I can give you secular evidence that what the Word of God says is true. It wasn't just Holy Writ that tells us that a man named Jesus walked the face of this earth for 33 and a half years, and that he died and rose again the third day. That's substantiated. But folks, I'm going to say this. There's only one way that we can say this for sure today, and that's what? If he's alive in you and I today. And we know Jesus is alive, isn't he? We know he is. And we know that his book is true. And the things that he said were all truth. They were all truth. And folks, we better be very careful when we mess with the truth. We talked in our junior, senior high Sunday school class, and I've got to be brief here. And we've said this, that people generally want to do what? They want to believe a lie. And we talked in the young folks there this morning, and I won't go into what all we said. But you know what? It's true. People want to believe a lie. They'd much rather believe the lie or deception than the truth. But folks, look at the evidence and see if it can be refuted. And my friends, it cannot be. Especially when Jesus is alive in your life. You know it's confirmed. He is alive, amen, forevermore. Well, you can read on about this, but that's the account to the resurrection out of the Gospel of Mark. Now, I want to shift gears for just a minute, and you keep me on track and make sure, but here we are again. Let's go through this. 3 o'clock, he died. Day 6, that was Good Friday. Before 6 o'clock, he was buried. That brings us to day 7. By the way, 7 is a unique number. 7 is one of God's numbers. It's a perfect number. It's a complete number. Day 7 is the Sabbath, and it's a day of rest. Isn't that right? God created the heavens and earth in 6 days. On the 7th day, he rested. He set a pattern there again for us to be doing what? To considering our rest in our humanity with his deity that, again, commanded for us to take a rest on the 7th day. And so we know that in Scripture there is no external activity that took place on that day, because what were the people doing on the Sabbath? Well, hopefully they were resting, but let me tell you, the people have always been people. We're sinners ever since the fall. But let me just say this. Jesus was not inactive on the Sabbath, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Remember when he got in a little trouble with the high and mighty folks of Judaism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Remember, he and the disciples were hungry one time on the Sabbath, and Jesus went out if you look at the KJV, it says cornfields, but what corn meant in that is wheat. And you can look in your other translations. Some of them have it right. What did Jesus do when he was hungry on the Sabbath? He went out, stripped off some wheat, and they ate. Remember the religious leaders? You've broken the Sabbath. Well, Jesus essentially said to him, what? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. If I don't get some wheat out of the field that day, I have every right, because whose wheat is it? It's mine. It's mine. But Jesus was active on day 7, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, does anyone have a question yet on our blanks? Well, if you do, I'll try to keep you informed here as we go on. So the first thing we're going to look at is, what happened to Jesus on the Sabbath? First of all, where was he at that day? Well, we know that his body is where? In the tomb. It's in the grave. But folks, understand this today. We are not just body. The Bible really says we're three things, but we can break it down to two. We're both material and immaterial. What you're seeing here this morning as you look at me is my material body, and it ain't pretty. I know that. You don't need to say any more. But what you're not seeing about me today that may be exposed is my immaterial part. And the Bible indicates, according to the Apostle Paul, that we're also made up of a soul and a spirit. Our soul is an eternal part of us. It's our inner makeup that is eternal. It's created when our mom and dad got together and the egg and the sperm were fertilized. Well, the sperm fertilized the egg. Yes, I do know a little about biology. By the way, when you mess with that, you're creating an eternal soul. Our offspring are eternal. That's the closest thing we get to God and his creative work. We won't park there either on that this morning. But here's what happened in the Old Testament. Now, we got to go through this step by step. Jesus died, okay, and that's one of your blanks. But first, let's back up to Luke 23, 43. Matthew, Mark, Luke 23, 43. I got to prove this out in less than 15 minutes, or you'll be late up to the hotel for the prime rib. Luke 23, 43. Let me change my pages here. Someone help me out here this morning. What do we have on the cross? Jesus was crucified with two other folks. They were criminals, right? Thieves, murderers. And what happened to one of them? We learned this last week. One of them changed their mind on the cross because it started out what? They were both against Jesus. But in the end, one recognized who he was, and he changed his mind. That's the word repent. And notice what he says here. Jesus says to this other thief, and you can read the account on your own about how all that happened. He says, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Two key words there, today. Jesus said where he was going on that Friday night at 6 o'clock as he gave up his life. He said, "I'm going to paradise. And you're going to be there with me." Now, we know that Jesus' body went into the tomb when he died. We just looked at that. And we know that the thief's body was placed somewhere for burial, as was customary. And by the way, it was burial to the Jews. They did not cremate, but I'm just letting you know that. It was buried. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went to paradise. Now let me explain this, and I got to stay with my notes here, but your first note, Luke 23, 43, the thief and paradise. And Luke 23, 46, we know that Jesus died. Let's just make sure we're here. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, this is Luke's version. By the way, Luke has a lot more physical stuff because he was a what? He was an MD. Now, I don't know if he was an MD, but he... "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus died. So Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus died. And then Jesus' body went into the tomb. We just looked at that. Now go over to Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. And I'm going to explain this to you. And I'm going to say there's very few places that are going to tell this kind of thing today. But it's important because you know what? There's a lot of misinformation out there, as I said. Ephesians 4, 8 through 10. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now he, this is the part, important part here tonight. "Now he that ascended, what is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth." Now let me just tell you what this is right now. This is the grave that Jesus is speaking about and his spirit, okay? But it's more than that. Because you see, in the Old Testament, as I said, every soul is eternal. And when a body and a soul were separated in the Old Testament, they went to a place called Sheol, the grave. And it's the holding pen for both those that are saved by grace through faith, which is how people have been saved through all time, and those that are not saved. The place that people went that were saved by grace through faith was the place that is known as Abraham's bosom. We'll look at that in a minute in Luke 16. And the people that were unsaved went to a place that was called Hades. It's a place of torment and punishment, also we'll see in Luke 16. Jesus went to that holding place called, help me, paradise, right? Yep, paradise. What do we think when we think about paradise? A wonderful place. Yep, a wonderful place. That's where Jesus' spirit went. Now, there's your point two there on under C, Sheol. The grave is the holding compartment for people that are dead, for their souls, for their spirit. Abraham's bosom is paradise for believers. Hades is a place of torment for unbelievers. There's two compartments. Jesus went to Abraham's bosom. Okay, He went to paradise. He said that to the thief on the cross. In this text, now verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And so we're going to look at some more supporting scripture on that. But here's what happened, folks, in a nutshell. And we do need to go to 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Because many people wonder, where did Jesus go? Now, some of you that are familiar with the Apostles' Creed say that he went where? To hell. But you know what? Psalm 16:40, where David is giving us a messianic psalm. Maybe we ought to just look that up quick. Psalm 16:10 says that neither would God allow his Holy One to see corruption. Folks, I understand, and the King James is a poor translation on this because it translates these words hell, Hades, hell, okay? But the fact of the matter is, the Apostles' Creed would lead you to believe that Jesus went to hell. There might be people here this morning that believe that. There used to be a pastor here at Fruitland that believed that. Jesus never went to hell. He endured hell on the cross. And they say, well, what about this, him preaching to the captives? You know what, who he preached to? He was preaching to the souls in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, and he was telling them, you're not going to be stuck here as the form of your spirit or soul. You're going to be released in the resurrection one day, and you're going to get a new glorified body. That's what happened on that seventh day when Jesus' body was in the grave. His spirit was active in Abraham's bosom. Now, I got to prove this out. Luke 16. Luke 16, 22 through 23. Did I read 1 Peter?
No.
Hold on here. Help me out. Keep me in line here this morning. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by his Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Folks, he didn't go to hell. People that were in Hades are not going to come out of there. I want you to know that today, folks. It's a done deal what we do on earth. Jesus told his disciples, he says, what you bind on earth is, and what you bind in heaven are bound. It's a done deal. People today that die apart from Jesus Christ will not escape hell. Jesus did not go into Hades, which is the forerunner of the lake of fire, to release those people out of hell. He went to Abraham's bosom and said, there's good news coming. You're getting a new body one day. Are you excited about that? Does your knee hurt today? Yeah, my eye is messed up. Some of you are saying, was he out drinking last night? His eye is a little... I got problems. So do you with your bodies. Has anyone got a perfect body here today? Let me tell you something, folks. The souls that were in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, were in bliss. But you know what? The soul, or the immaterial part of man, was created for a body. And even though it's a wonderful place, they longed to have a new glorified body. And Jesus was going to set that prototype at his resurrection. It's coming for all the rest of the believers too at the rapture of the church when Jesus calls his people. And remember what's going to happen. Those that have been in the grave are going to rise first. They're going to get their new bodies first. And we that are alive and remain, be with the Lord, we're going to get our new bodies as well. And let me tell you, there's no MDs in heaven. There's no crutches. There's no walkers. There's no band-aids. There's just the great physician who has healed, past tense, all of our ills. Now, where was I at here? But by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Paul's telling us here, a few people got it, eight souls in Noah's time. And even they were what? They were defective, but through the grace of God, they were in paradise, and they were going to receive the whole package in the prototype of what Jesus did. Now, how are we doing on blanks? Here it is on number two. Well, I didn't go there yet. Luke 16, 22 through 23. Keep me in line here this morning, folks. It's a little complicated. You know, I have trouble with complicated things. Luke 16, this is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. 22 and 23. You'll have to read this on your own, but we're going to get down to business here. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You'll have to read the whole account here of what took place. There it is, Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to the grave, but now we're going to find out in the next verse. And if you've got the KJV here this morning, and this is not a good translation, but it says here, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It's not a wrong translation, but it's not the best. The best word there is Hades, the holding pen for the eternal lake of fire. Being in what? The presidential suite. By the way, do you think Satan has those type of accommodations in hell?
They're all in the fire.
You better know this today, folks. There is no good accommodations in hell. I don't know. The Bible indicates there could be degrees in hell because there's judgment. The great white throne judgment. I'm not saying, that's not my business. That's Jesus's, but there could be. But let me just tell you, there's no good room in hell. It's torment. It's flame. It's torture. It's regret. You can read the rest of this account. But here it is. And you'll see that because it says here he was in torments and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, in Abraham's bosom is what's being referred to here. So here's your blank on number two on letter C. Sheol, the grave, is the holding compartment for dead. Abraham's bosom, or paradise, for believers. Hades, torment for unbelievers. And then letter D, we already looked at this in part. Freedom for the captive soul is a resurrected body at the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection passage. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And I want to go through 57 here. Actually, I want to back up here. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23 first. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that died or slept. First fruits means what? How many of you are vehicle enthusiasts here today? Bill, what's your all-time favorite Mopar product? Well, I'm not going to pick on you, but there was a first of everything that came out. You have the first of any Mopar things, Bill? But I mean the very first car that came off the line. Probably not. If you're an IH person like me, Doug Chatfield, what's the first serial number of an IH tractor that came out of Farmall Works? 501. You've been listening. Very good. That's your prototype. It's the first one. Jesus is the first one that rose from the dead, never to die again. Here it is. Where were we at? 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, Paul says, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, yeah, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. That's the second Adam, Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Is anyone alive this morning? Is that worth an amen or I'm excited or a hallelujah on Resurrection Sunday? But here it is, this is the key, 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Folks, we have a wonderful future here if you know Christ Jesus, if you're born again. I'm excited about that. Now I know we got to go. Let me check my notes here. Where are we going? Oh, 51 through 57, same chapter. I get all excited. 1 Corinthians 15:57. If I didn't have this on my foot, and I, Lord willing, I'll get her off one of these times. But you know what? I used to do what here, some of you old-timers at Fruitland? I'd jump in the air and kick my heels without grabbing anything. I'm not going to attempt that this morning. But I get excited about 1 Corinthians 15:57. I hope you're excited this morning too. I hope today, even if it would be someone here does not know Christ as their Savior, that they're saying, you know what, I better investigate some of this stuff. I better investigate this. Because if I miss this, it's going to be a tragic thing. So here it is. 51 through 57. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is the rapture of the church, the translation of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus was doing, folks, on the Sabbath in his spirit. And the next morning, it's recorded, early in the morning of the third day, he rose. He put the guarantee, what? Into practice. And we serve a risen and living Lord. And the courts of Abraham's bosom today. And by the way, just to clarify this, in the New Testament after this with Christ, today when we die, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I've got to talk fast here. He says to be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. That means our immaterial part, our souls, go immediately into the presence of Jesus in heaven. No more holding pen in Abraham's bosom. But let me tell you, those folks in Abraham's bosom, when Jesus preached the good news to them, even so come, Lord Jesus. Right?
Amen.
We want that new body. We want this thing to be completed. Folks, Jesus is on his way. He has an appropriate time, and he'll be here, and he'll be right on time. Now, I'm going to go to the fancy conclusion, and we're done. But the key thing about that is, how's your timing? We learned last Sunday what? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 6, verse 2 says, when is the day to get saved? When is the day to confess your sins to Jesus and place them under his blood and believe on his name? That's God's timing. And we place ourselves in dire jeopardy if we don't listen to what he says. Did we get all the blanks? D, freedom for the captive soul, a resurrected body at the rapture. And E, Jesus' resurrection and new body is the prototype for all believers. Here's the conclusion, because we got to go have prime rib. In conclusion, on this Resurrection Sunday memorial, I want to warn us about what I didn't conclude in my earlier explanation. That souls of the unredeemed, the unsaved, that are in Hades, and the souls, and by the way, that's where you go today too if you're unsaved. Same holding pen that was talked about there, a place called Hades. It's a place of torment, the forerunner of the lake of fire. So again, that are in Hades, and the souls of any here this morning that have rejected the hope that lies in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that are headed there apart from Christ, will also be resurrected. Oh, that doesn't sound so bad then. Why is it bad? Because hell is going to be a place for people in resurrected bodies to experience eternal torment forever. There's two resurrections. There's no third listing. By the way, annihilationism is not true. Annihilationism says, well, you may be tormented for a while, but eventually you'll burn up. Oh, yeah? Look at the burning bush that Moses saw. So I watched a little of Charlton last night. The Ten Commandments. For the unsaved, there will be a resurrection to judgment. of living death. That's what the Bible says. I got to finish or we won't have a conclusion. Because those that are headed there apart from Christ will also be resurrected to stand, and there's the key judgment at the great white throne of Jesus found in Revelation 20. Those in that category will experience the torment of the lake of fire, both in body and spirit, forever. We just saw it in Luke 16, the rich man. Be warned today of the impending danger. Be warned. That's why you're here today. One of two things, to either be confirmed in your trust in Jesus Christ or to be warned if you're apart from Him. There it is. Be warned today of the impending danger. But know this, Jesus died for sinners. He took hell on the cross for you, that you need not go there. 1 Peter 3:9 says this, that He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. Perish means go to hell. Eternal death. Eternal death forever. No end. But that you would, turn to Him today and see His face that says, I love you. Come to me. You know, Jesus died on that cross with His arms outstretched. He said, come to me. All ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. You know, that's the interesting thing. When we enter into a personal walk with Jesus Christ, we're placed in His Sabbath day rest. That's our salvation. We no longer have to worry about any of that. We can be at peace. Maybe there's some here today that are not at peace. I'm almost done. I love you. Come to me because my Father loves you so much that He gave His only unique begotten Son to die and bleed for your sin on Calvary's cross and to rise the third day so that you might live eternally rather than perish. That's the power, my friends, today of the resurrection. That's the new life in Christ, abundant and free. It's there for the taking today, folks. It wasn't free, but it's free to us. It cost God, the Son, God in the flesh, His life on Calvary's cross. That's the new life in Christ, abundant and free. Won't you receive it today? And for those that have, what a better day to rejoice. We need to go out here kicking up our heels. Let me tell you something. People see that too. Because most people today are what? Oh, I'm down in doom and glum. We might have all kinds of problems as believers, but folks, we've been freed. And if I didn't have this cast, I might still try to kick up my heels. You know, there was a time I could jump off that platform clear to the bottom. That's how you don't have to deal with steps. But we can have that freedom today in Jesus. I could, but the results might not be good. And for those that have, what a better day than to rejoice. Jesus, the resurrected and the living Savior, I'm done. Amen.
Amen.
The rest of this is up to you. Let's take our hymnals, or it's on the screen. 377. 377. Now, I just want to warn you, Patsy, I get pretty excited about some things. Let's stand if you're able. There's been a few times at Fruitland Baptist Church we've sung this hymn. And some of you will remember that I came up and said, it's a what? It's a do-over. If you know Christ today, you sing this hymn like you know Him and you mean it. This is not a dirge. He lives, He lives. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Let's sing it. Hey, if you've got things that need settled with Christ, you heard it this morning, you've been warned. But you know He's waiting for you today. And even for believers, maybe if you've walked away from Him, He wants you to come back. And He wants to get back into that good walk with you today. He's the living Lord, folks. He's got everything under control. The question is, do we? And the answer for that is, we may not. But He's waiting. Let's sing it today like you mean it. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. today. Lonnie, will you dismiss us, please?